Got a Bible today? Take it and say this with me. Say, I can have what the Word says I can have. I can be what the Word says I can be. And I can do everything the Word says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Briefly to recap last week's message in honor of Father's Day, I spoke on our great Father, our great Heavenly Father. And maybe your experience with your dad growing up was not the best. Maybe he wasn't there for you. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he didn't provide for you. But here's the thing. Remember this. Never place on God any negative feelings that you may have had toward your earthly father. Never place on your Heavenly Father any negative feelings you may have had toward your earthly father. Why? Because God is so far above. He is perfect. He is sinless. What does the Word of God say about humanity? In Psalm 51, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Our human fathers, our earthly fathers were born in sin. And if they were not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and remained in that sin, then yes, maybe they abused you. Maybe they did not treat you the way they should have. But, you know, maybe your earthly dad did not provide you with the necessities of life. Food and clothing and a place to stay and finances, education. But what does the Word of God say about our Heavenly Father? What does Paul the Apostle write in Philippians 4, verse 19? He says, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He doesn't say, "But my God shall supply some of your needs." He says, "But my God shall supply for all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." What does Jesus say about God the Father in Matthew 7, verse 11? Matthew 7, verse 11. This is what He says. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" What was Jesus saying in Matthew 7:11? If you then, earthly fathers, having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your Heavenly Father, the sinless one, give good gifts to those who ask Him? God the Father is the giver of good gifts. He is the author of good. So we're going to talk about the gift, the good gift of financial provision today. How many here can use more finances, more financial provision in your life? Anybody here can use more finances, financial provision in your life to maybe pay the food bills and maybe to pay the rent or the mortgage, or to buy clothing, or to help your children with, or to go to school with? We can all use a little bit more money. Would you agree? That's it. He says, just a little bit. I think we can all use it, right? And, you know, I heard somebody say this one time, and it's so true, that money does not bring any happiness. Remember that. Money does not bring happiness. But a lack of finances, a lack of money, sure does bring a lot of unhappiness, right? Amen? Amen? So a lack of it sure brings a lot of unhappiness. God, the God that we serve, our Heavenly Father, wants to provide for you financially. And I know maybe that a lot of you sitting in this room today, a lot of you listening, may be needing more finances in your life. It's hard to operate on a daily basis without finances, without financial provision. Would you agree? So let's talk about the good gift of financial provision and what will it take to receive this good gift. What will it take to receive this good gift of financial provision? It's going to take a few different things. First and foremost, what is it going to take? God wants to provide you with this good gift called financial provision. But what is He looking for in you and in me? This brother says tithes and offerings. Something else? That's good. Brother says giving. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Anybody else in the room today?
Obedience.
Obedience, those are all good answers. But the one thing that pleases God and that God honors is faith. What does the writer of Hebrews say in Hebrews 11 verse 6? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, what does that say to you? If it's impossible to please God without faith, and it says that with faith, it is possible to please God. What is faith? What is faith? Trust. That's good. That's it. That's good. Trust. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, think of it this way, is knowing, call this in, around your heart, your knower. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that you know in your knower that God is able to provide you with a good gift. His word says he can provide for you. Faith doesn't doubt the goodness of God for even a second, for even a moment. Faith does not doubt the power, the miracle-working power of God for even a millisecond. It's knowing beyond the shadow of any doubt that God can do for you what his word says he can do for you. That God can financially provide for you like his word says he can do for you. Philippians 4:19. Amen? It will take faith in a big God for financial increase. Look at Matthew chapter 9, talking about faith. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. These two men had great faith. Matthew 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Now, when these blind men responded to Jesus like this, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you're able to do this," what was that? Their yes was a what? Their confident yes was what? It was an expression of their faith, their doubtless faith, that Jesus could do, that God could do what his word says he can do. It expressed their doubtless faith that Jesus was the miracle-working God and that Jesus could restore their sight. Do you agree? Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. What good gift did Jesus give to the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9? What good gift did Jesus give to the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30? The gift, the good gift of sight, physical healing. Would you agree? And what does the Word of God say about Jesus? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago is able to heal you today. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Israel is the Jesus who can provide for you financially 2,000 years later here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Do you agree? If so, say amen. Jesus never changes. God never changes. God is no respecter of persons. If he healed the two blind men, he can provide for you financially. So first and foremost, it's going to take what? What pleases God? Faith. Knowing that you know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God can financially provide for you. You know, there's been a faulty teaching. I've heard a little bit of it in the past. Some of you may have been exposed to it, maybe some of you have not. That some people think that they can just sit there in a building, at home, somewhere here in Tulsa, on the streets, and twiddle their thumbs, sit on their, you know, blessed assurance, if you would, twiddle their thumbs, and expect financial provision to drop out of the sky. I just know that I know that I know that I know that God can provide for me financially. I just have such great faith. I know He's just going to drop it into my lap. And so they sit there, night and day, twiddling their thumbs, expecting for this financial provision, miracle, to just be given over into their lives. You know what, friends? That's a faulty teaching. A lot of times, financial provision and miracle is just not going to drop into your lap. You need to have something more than just faith. Faith in God, faith in the miracle-working power of God is half the puzzle. There's another half to this puzzle of financial provision. And what is that?
Works.
All right, he's reading my message. Faith plus works. Let's turn to James 2. James chapter 2. It's an awesome epistle that he wrote. Awesome letter. James chapter 2. Let's see what he writes. Verse 14 of James 2. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Is dead. Faith, if it is not accompanied by action, by works, by deeds, is a dead faith. What is James writing in these scriptures? What is he saying? He's saying that if you have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, if you call Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, it will be evidenced in what? In works of love, in works of charity, in works of Christ-likeness. So in other words, if you say that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're following Jesus Christ, and there's somebody out there starving, and you've got $50 to your name, then what? You'll go out and buy that person lunch. You'll buy that person dinner. You might buy that person a week's worth of groceries, evidencing your faith in Jesus Christ. So he's talking about a saving faith, right, in James 2, verses 14 through 17, a saving faith that is lived out by works of what? By works of love, by works of Christ-likeness. But what might we also say that faith for financial provision needs to be lived out by this good four-letter word? W-O-R-K. You know, the world has a bunch of bad four-letter words, right? And some of you may have heard of them, and some of you may have spoken them. The world has some bad four-letter words. But there is a good four-letter word. What is it called?
Work.
W-O-R-K. So could we say that faith for financial provision needs to be lived out by this good four-letter word? Work. Physical labor. Manual labor, maybe mental labor, thinking. You know, a little elbow grease is not going to hurt anybody. You believe in God for financial provision? You know what it might take? A job. A J-O-B. A lot of times, that is how God is going to financially provide for you, is through a job. He's giving you giftings. He's given you callings. Maybe he's given you skills with your hands. So go out and use those skills. Work with your hands. Maybe you might be a bricklayer. Find a bricklaying job. Maybe he's giving you a skill with words. Go out and start writing that book that God has been talking to you about. Write that book. I don't know what gifting God has given to you. Maybe he's given you a gift to teach. Go out there and teach, maybe at a school. At a college eventually, whatever it might be. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay, here it goes. This is what he says. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6. The Thessalonians were dealing with idleness. Anybody here know what idleness is?
Inactivity.
Inactivity. Doing nothing, doing no work, just sitting around, being a busybody. So Paul the Apostle has to address this issue in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Here we go. 6 through 12. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. I want to stress that again. On the contrary, we worked an hour a day, 30 minutes a day. How much did Paul work? How often did Paul practice this four-letter word? Night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. What kind of work did Paul do? He was a tent maker. He worked night and day making tents. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Can we also say that if a man does not work, he will not be financially provided for? Could we say that? We hear that some among you are idle. In other words, not working, sitting around. They're not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread that they eat. Let me read a few scriptures from the Amplified. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and struggle we worked how long? Night and day, that we might not be a burden or impose on any of you. It was not because we do not have right to such support, but we wished to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule and charge. If anyone will not work, neither let him, what?
Eat.
Indeed, we hear that some of you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. Now we charge and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that they work in quietness and earn their own food and other necessities. And their necessities. And he says this in verse 9, he says that we made ourselves a model for you to follow. What kind of model was Paul being? Paul was being a model to the Thessalonians of a hard worker. He's also being a model for us 2,000 years later. We need to work, friends. Faith plus what? Faith plus work. W-O-R-K. Now, in my life, I went to college. I did a four-year undergraduate degree and a two-year graduate degree. And how many here know that college bills could be high? They could be high, right? I just knew that I knew that I knew that God could provide for my college bills. How did God provide for my college bills from 92 to 98? It was faith plus I had to do something with my faith for financial provision. I had to work. I worked hard every summer, night and day, working on people's homes, putting the money aside. And when I went to ORU, I paid the bills in full. Now, if I could do it, friend, you can do it. You're healthy. God has given you two eyes, a mouth, ears. He's given you arms. He's given you legs. Like Paul the Apostle says to the Thessalonians, let us not be idle, just sitting around, not doing any work. Let's work night and day if we have to, because most times that's the way that God is going to provide for you financially. Most times God will not just drop a financial blessing upon your life. Most times he's going to do it through a career, through a job. Is that making sense today? All right, some practical steps. What are some practical steps concerning this four-letter word, work, W-O-R-K? What are some practical steps? First and foremost, you've got to take the first steps to getting a job. You can't wait till everything is perfect. Well, you know what? My body doesn't feel quite right. I've got some pain in my arms, and I've got a little bit of pain in my back and some pain in my legs. And man, it's just way too hot outside. It's way too cold outside. You know, the conditions are not just right. Friends, you know what? You don't have to wait for the conditions to be just perfect before you get up and take the first steps. Let me read this to you. Take action now. The number one step to accomplishing your goals. Finally, the day had arrived. Jennifer had been training for months, and now her hard work would be put to good use. Her body was in shape. Her mind was crisp. She was ready. Well, almost. She couldn't find the right pair of shoes. At this particular race, there was a large locker room full of every type of running shoe in the world. Jennifer was trying on shoes, but she couldn't find the perfect ones. The race was about to begin, but she didn't want to run if everything was not perfect. For Jennifer, if everything wasn't perfect, she didn't want to start the race. Tell them just 5 more minutes, she told the officials. I'll be right there. She wasn't. Jennifer tore through the stacks of shoes. One was too tight. The next was too loose. One pair fit right, but she didn't like the colors. We have to start the race, Jen. Her coach walked out of the room shaking his head. As she was trying on a pair of green shoes, she heard the starter's gun. Pop. The race started without her. When she heard the shot, Jennifer stopped looking for the perfect shoes. She waited for everything to be perfect, and in doing so, let opportunity start and finish without her. You must take action if you want to reach your goals. No dream will come true if you don't do something to make it so. If you wait for the perfect situation, guess what? You may be waiting forever. The bus is going to pass you on by, friend. All right? Don't let the race start without you. Take action today. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today. You will always have reasons why you must put it off until another time. Stop giving yourself excuses and give yourself a chance to do what? To succeed. So friends, if you want to be financially provided for, if you need more finances, you've got to take the first steps. Not everything is going to be perfect when you're taking these first steps. Your body may ache a little bit. You may feel drowsy in the morning. Drink some coffee. It'll give you a good shot of caffeine, right? You may feel drowsy. It may be really humid outside, or it might be really cold outside. But guess what? Start taking the first steps. Go from location to location, filling out job applications. And then setting up interviews. Not just once in a blue moon, but consistently. Diligence and consistency is another practical step. Not quitting when it gets uncomfortable. Proverbs 10, verse 4. In closing this today. Proverbs 10, verse 4. What does he write? He says this, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring what? Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent, hard-working hands make a man or bring wealth, finances. Laziness does not help anybody out. It will hurt you. But diligence, consistency, will allow God to bring this good gift of financial provision into your life. You know, you may start the job and it might be going good for a week or two, but then it starts getting hotter and hotter outside as the summer goes on. Don't quit when it gets hot. When the going gets tough, the tough in God by faith get what? Get going. Just keep going. Don't give up. Drink plenty of water. Put your feelings and your emotions aside and just be diligent and faithful to your employer. Second week of June, I had a large contract that we were working on in South Tulsa. I work on people's homes in Tulsa. And one day I had 4 guys working for me. The next day, 3 guys. And one of the guys that was working for me has got his own business, and he was believing God for certain equipment. So he worked with me that week, the second week of June, for 2.5 days. And let me tell you guys, towards the end of that week, it was really hot. He was working by the sweat of his brow. But he gave glory to God later. He was like, man, I needed this money to buy this equipment for this business. And I worked and he worked, and he went to bed at like 8:30 that night that he worked. He was so tired and beat. Worked like 10 hours. Got up the next morning. He was there on the job site. He was there waiting for me. Worked the next 10-hour day. Made some money. Was able to buy the equipment he was believing God for. He was working by the sweat of his brow. He didn't give up when it got tough. He kept going. If he did it, guess what, friend? You can do it. When the going gets tough, the tough in God get going by faith. Amen? So it's going to take faith. Faith. Knowing that you know that you know that God can provide for you financially. Plus what?
Work.
W-O-R-K. Good hard work is not going to harm. It's not going to hurt anybody. And when you get weak and you're like, God, I can't do this anymore. I feel like giving up. I feel like quitting. Just cry out to God and say, God, I need your supernatural empowerment and strength. And God will give you his strength. You'll get a second wind to keep going for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year. Amen?
Amen.
If others have done it, friend, you can do it. Paul the Apostle, he said he worked what? Night and
day.
Night and day, making tents. And talking about Paul the Apostle, he was one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament, right? We're talking a man who had great faith in God, in Christ. Would you agree? He had great faith. He believed that God could provide for him financially. He talks about it in Philippians 4. But with his faith, he did what? He added what to his faith? Work. He talks about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Work night and day. If Paul could do it, he was a man just like us. Guess what? We can do it. Amen? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
All right, say I am going to practice faith. In God, plus some good hard work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Kevin, do you have something you'd like to say?
You know, guys, back in New Mexico, I'll make this brief. Back in New Mexico, and I was ministering, you know, the ministry was good, but the finances were few. You understand what I'm saying? I had to support a family. One of the hardest jobs I ever take in that area was to go into 2 acres of land and strip all the bamboo out of it. And I was by myself, and it was a nasty job. Nobody wanted it. I mean, nobody. But you know what? I had a family to feed. And I took the job, and day after day, you had to get this bamboo and you had to burn it in the hot sun in New Mexico. I don't know if you've ever been to New Mexico, but we're talking about heat, man. And I did this job, and I got paid very little for it. But listen, this is the point of it. Work creates work. Because somebody saw me working, they came to me and said, hey, I've got this over here. I need you to come over here and do this. And a couple days later, they saw me working again. Say, I've got this over here. I need you to come over here and do this. And an old fireman who had a lawn care business told me when I was a kid, a long time ago, he said, Kevin, work creates work. There are times no one is just going to throw a job at you. Okay? But sometimes you have to be creative. Find something you can work at. Because work will produce opportunities to work to make money. It's like putting your faith into what?
Action.
Action.
That's good.
So I encourage you to do so. And yes, eventually I was blessed. And went on to the next assignment the Lord had for me in the ministry. But work, creative work, faith upon faith. What? Faith in action.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good, Kevin. And think about Jesus. Nobody had greater faith in the New Testament than who? Than Jesus, the Son of God. And what was Jesus? He was a carpenter. He worked with his hands diligently. If he did it, we need to do it.